so many good tunes crammed into 2 hours. Right, after 5 o'clock today, it's all about what.
We're in Belfast, walking the streets with Caroline Wilson, owner of Taste and Tour, a tourism startup specialising in food-led tours across the city and beyond. Most notable, though, for the hugely popular Belfast Food Tour. But calling Caroline a mere tour guide isn't really fitting enough.
Caroline is a fabulous force of this city, infectiously passionate, endlessly energetic and cleverly entrepreneurial, packing in a comfortable job in law to strike it out alone in the food industry and starting a tour guide business. Her tours are legendary and she is the oracle of all things edible and drinkable in Belfast. She knows this city dish by dish and has never steered us wrong yet.
For us, growing up, Belfast was a place we rarely went to. Located no more than an hour and a half from where we live, which is just shy of the Irish border. Following decades of the Troubles, it really wasn't a place people from the south raced to, and sadly, a city that wasn't really embraced either. So close, but yet so far.
In our teens and 20s, we yearned to know more about this off-limits city of sorts, and once we started exploring it, we really couldn't get enough. Belfast is modern, multicultural, game-changing even, and one of our favourite cities in the world with a seriously special place in our hearts.
So, who better to lead us on a walk around this city than Caroline Wilson, who, well, from personal experience, isn't really a question and answer kind of gal. Once she starts talking about where is good to eat, we know by now just to let her get on with it. And so we did.
I don't know how to say it. Jumon. Jumon. It's all vegetarian, but it's not even sold like that. It is just so good.
And is it Asian or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you go in and there's like little pandas with your chopsticks on it and stuff. But it's not even about that. It's only new. It's only new, and it needs. I don't really like to go to places when they first start, so I like to let them bed in a bit and get their systems together. I need you to go there, and then that's where you not and by you know I have no like everywhere I go I pay. So I think to me, like whenever you go to somewhere, you need to buy it to really understand it. So like there's them. My human
that
Belfast.
Image is so colourful and inviting.
Let me tell you, it wasn't even difficult. It is colourful and inviting. Yeah. I've never seen colour on plates like it.
Wow.
It's a brilliant place, and that was the mushroom taco-y thing. There was just the wonderful thing is there's nothing on the menu that I certainly knew about, and I think it possibly is their own take on things and different wording that they've made it in. But you just go for it and then see what comes up. So beautiful dumplings obviously in there too, noodly dish, soupy dishes, and then the rice dishes, just so good. I went the first time for dinner and then the next day I went back for lunch.
Why not?
Now that says something.
That's an endorsement and a half.
Isn't it though? Yeah. So I recently did that with Disham.
Oh my God.
Go.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
So this is a place that we could absolutely eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You did it.
Late night drinks.
Yeah.
You know, I could have a sleepover in there if they let me.
Yeah.
It is probably one of our favorite places to eat in London.
But it is that word. It's a chain. Kind of.
I know it is. Which is
the word group.
A group.
So I used to work in restaurant PR, so we never use the word chain.
No.
It's a group, even though it's
if chains are good and they're doing it well.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly.
It's the only way. I'm not saying I'm gonna go there only there. We don't have one. It was Edinburgh we were in, and I hadn't made it in London ever. Every time it was on the list to do, and I never made it. I'm sure people always said brunch, and when I saw one, I couldn't get over it. So I dragged Phil. Who I work with, and we went there and we had the bacon naan.
Oh, yes. Life-changing.
Life-changing?
Yes.
What is that?
It is like £4.
I know.
It's a piece of bread and some bacon and some relish and an egg if you want as well.
Oh,
who knew?
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
It really does change your life, and it is one of the most delicious breakfasts in all of London. Britain, everywhere, the world.
But speaking of amazing breakfast, where is amazing to eat breakfast in Belfast?
Breakfast, as much for Ulster fries for me, we grew up with them. So my mother obviously my mum doesn't cook, but the one thing she does really well is an Ulster fry. And I love that because you get all the pans going at the same time and she does it really well. And I think though the atmosphere of George's of the Market to me works, and I love the concept that everything comes from the market itself, bar the Clonakilty black pudding. And when you're looking over St. George's with the vibe, and you can have a newspaper and a cup of coffee, and you know, that just great breakfast of what is traditional, but just, I mean, a smoked dull sausage, hello, why not?
Yeah.
And it's all good. It's all good meat, all good, all excellent breads and everything else. So to me, I don't think at the weekends you can beat St. George's in the restaurant in there, George's of the Market, and look in that balcony.
The thing we think about up here is the market, because from the area of Ireland that we're from, we have nothing that's anything like that.
And similarly, even Dublin, with the exception of, I suppose, the Temple Bar food market, which is fantastic, but it just doesn't have the heritage.
Yes.
And then coming from London, where we lived for so long, and we had Borough Market amongst so many others, and Belfast has this amazing market. Now, we're here on a Wednesday afternoon, and you know, it is annoying when we look at the schedule for St. George's Market and it's not open on a Wednesday afternoon, but it is an absolute goldmine, isn't it?
It's so, as I describe it to people, it's got a bit of a personality disorder in that on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you can go to it and have three different experiences. So a Friday is the much more traditional world-class fish, fruit and vegetables, you know, fourth generation Hoover bag sellers, you've got, you know, market traders, and then you can buy high-vis vests and girdles and house coats and tea towels, and then you've got some lovely craft in there too, and antiques. And then Saturday's this kind of more foodie vibe and a bit of more craft, and lovely things have been coming up and popping in. So I think if anybody just goes in for food, it's a bit of a mistake, because there is a lot to look around. And some people I've taken, like French people or something, they'll come in and they'll look at it through completely different eyes, and then I see it as well, because sometimes you can just walk past stalls and not even look at them. Just the vibe of it really does change, and just with families in and the music in, and the music has got so much better over the years. Yeah. And I think the market itself, I think the traders are seeing footfall increasing over the Saturday and Sunday. This Friday's probably a bit more difficult to get the footfall in, I suppose, too. But yeah, it's brilliant. We're so lucky. Mm.
Okay. So in terms of places to eat in Belfast, how expensive are small plates
at the minute here?
I think it depends where you go. And I also think if we've got a couple of places now that are getting more involved with small plates. That Jumon place, Jumon, I never know how to say it. It's bigger ones, but I like, the way I like to eat is to order a main, two mains, say, and if there was three or four people, and then a couple of like a salad bit, and then a couple of starters, and then we all share amongst ourselves. There's another place, Dog Track, that's opened here, and it's got small plates too, so it's a completely different dining experience. So different. And it's like little sushi bowls, but without sushi in it. And the effort that goes into some of those dishes is so incredible when you look at it. Even though they're small, they are perfectly formed. And so, and it's got different levels of pricing as well. And each dish, like sushi, is different colored and different prices. Yeah. Small plates, I think Belfast is very affordable in comparison to other cities.
Is Belfast one of these places that slowly gets there but gets it right, or is it innovative?
I think we are, I don't mean to say we're behind, I don't think we are. I think we watch what other people do. It's the same with the legal background. It was the same that we watch what legislation happens over, as they say, across the water, and then we take it here and we fix it and then pretty much regurgitate it, but in a slightly different and slightly better way.
That's the way to be.
It is true. Yeah. It's handy, because then you get to watch what everyone's doing. So they always say that whatever's, you know, say in New York, it'll be here in a couple of years later.
Yeah.
Although improved and variations, like slicker and stuff. Yeah.
And with a local je ne sais quoi onto it.
As we like to say here.
Yeah, the language of Belfast, je ne sais quoi.
So we ended up taking an extended stop in Cocature, which is the city's premier chocolatier, set in a small, gorgeously formed basement just by City Hall. But now we go back on the road to continue our chat about some of the best places to eat around the city.
We are outside Sawyer's.
We are. And now if you ask any locals what this place is called, it's Sawyer's. Whereas it's not really called Sawyer's, and it blows their minds, because I get them to read the sign and it's Sawyer's.
SARS.
Yeah, it's SARS. It's not called Sawyers.
I have a virus.
I know everybody says Sawyers, and it's always will be Sawyers. So this shop is owned by a gentleman called Kieran, and when you come into it, you'll really see how it's a little food mecca in the city centre. So it's built around the same time as St George's Market, so it's that 1896, 1897 time. I think there must have been a foodie evolution going on then, and now it's happening all over again.
How did they do that with Instagram and Twitter?
I have no idea. Sawyers were distributors. They had shops all around the UK, but it was the main shipping ports. And these were the people, the brothers, they brought tiles to the food industry. So the way it was all wood before, and the wood would take in the bacteria. Well, they were the ones. So Harrods Food Market, tile, thanks to Sawyers.
Oh,
ended up getting MBEs.
Every flavour of jam, spread, chutney, cheese.
This is really a mecca of everything,
really
food-wise.
It has everything they can sell. They used to sell like emu and zebra. And I remember one day we were outside for a tour, and all I heard, a couple of guys came along and were like, excuse me, sorry to interrupt. And I was talking to Kieran, the owner, and they were, do you have any crocodile feet? And all you heard was Kieran then shouting over Fountain Centre in the heart of Belfast, Johnny, do we have any crocodile feet? And I was going, this is the most surreal conversation. And he goes, no, there's an embargo on them at the minute. And I'm going, this is actually serious that you do normally have crocodile feet, but not at the moment because they're not allowed to take them out of the country. So it's apparently Chinese medicine. Crocodile feet's meant to be really good for your colds. I think I'll stick with hot lemon and ginger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stick some gin in it. And they have massive amounts of cheeses. We were talking earlier about Young Buck. They have Young Buck here.
Really popular in Northern Ireland.
So popular. But also it was voted best blue cheese in Ireland in the Irish Cheese Awards last year. Mm. So it's not just in the north. But he's now selling it to the French. And it was a crowdfunded cheese. And I just think how funny and silly are the banks. The man is selling it to the French.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You just say no more. Anyway, so we've got the Italian section down here, and then we are coming into sort of more the local products. And also, you're going to find down there the Abernethy butters back in.
Oh,
you've got,
yeah.
I know, we've got the Fermat O'Doherty's, we've got the bacon from Enniskillen, which you'll know from your trips too. I know, as we all go,
bacon.
Exactly.
So
and yeah, so there's a lot of. There's Suki Tea in here, there's Brighter Gold, and there's Erin Grove, and there's all different things. And then they do their own, there's also SD Bells, but they do their own products themselves, and they get a lot of local producers to create them, and then they brand them, obviously.
Cool.
So even though they're Sawyers, they're still local products. So down the back of Boots, off Belfast City Main Street, Royal Avenue.
Amazing.
I can't believe you haven't been here
before.
I can't believe it either.
The music is here for a reason. They had the worst busker here, and he was the most depressing singer I have ever heard in my life. And he used to sing Johnny Cash, and you wouldn't have even recognized this Johnny Cash song. So they now put this up so that he couldn't sing anymore, and I couldn't be more delighted, and trust me, it works. There's another place around the corner here. I don't know if you've been to it. Taqueria?
Nope.
No. Okay, come on.
So here's a little factoid that we have about Caroline. We, earlier on, before we met up, were eating, as we naturally do. And we went to...
Hugo.
This has happened a couple of times now to us. Anywhere that we get a suggestion for and we tell Caroline, she sends us a list of things to order. And we just do it. Because it works each and every single time. And today the order was,
you had to have both types of dumplings,
mm-hmm.
you had to have the boy buns,
yep.
and then you also had to have the fried rice, which would be the fried rice of your dreams.
Yeah, and it is, and it was incredible.
What I loved about you was that you didn't go in and pick a boy bun or two boy buns. You were like, we'll have all of the boy buns, which is exactly what I wanted you to do.
Yeah, and we're glad we did it.
Okay, and so now you are bringing us to a place that has a Frenchie as the logo in a wrestling.
An dog, yeah.
Yeah,
mask.
That's okay.
It's a really interesting place to start a tour from because people go, we're meeting where?
So it's called La
Taqueria.
And incorporated with a cookery school, do I see?
Yep, there is a cookery school on the top floor, and then the Taqueria is on the first floor.
Oh, wow.
Hello! How are you?
Very well.
I know, I am not in the eat, I'm sorry. Yum, yum, yum. Oh, and mushroom tacos again.
Oh, yes.
Divine. And this is where you say, yeah, Caroline, that was on our menu. Because now it's changed,
they're
probably.
One of the best sellers I've seen. People don't really tend to think about them because they're a veggie option, but they're absolutely beautiful.
To me, whenever I go to somewhere, I say, what is the one thing I can't leave here without trying? And they know their food the best. Yeah. So you arrived, I adore margaritas, and I would have had a straight up one. He went, try the chili. And I went, okay. So I had the chili, and now I'm telling everybody, you've got to get the chili. Yeah. It's funny, just that you know your own stuff. But you've got to just come back and try it. But the cheese fondue is also just to me.
It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah. Love that.
Cheese fondue.
Oh, yeah, it's a cheese.
60% cheese, so what more do you need in your life?
80.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. Cactus strips, you've got a wee there's a whole thing going on. So no, you have to come back and visit this place as well. So
it's all about the carnitas. Pork shoulder, pork belly, cooked for about 4.5 hours, and then crisp at the bottom so all the meat caramelizes. All up in your mouth.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, I haven't eaten. I got two fillings today, so I haven't eaten. So now I'm thinking about carnitas. Thank you so
and
much for
shots.
That. That's right. Mm. Those were amazing in the little flipping skull glasses.
Yeah, so it was coconut water infused tequila with a little verdito on the side, which is blitzed up coriander, mint, lime, sea salt, serrano chilies. So not your traditional salt tequila lime, just coconut. And then all those loveliness.
Delectable.
Yeah.
It really is. There's nothing fierce. I mean, a good tequila shouldn't be, I know that, but it was really, again, something that I did remember, I promise you, but I may have had I probably had a few margaritas. Honestly, I am wild. I love a margarita.
By helping you down the stairs
Thank
instead
you.
Of actually carrying
That's
you.
That's
you know?
The only issue, really, isn't it? So, no, it was that. They are so good. So you do next turn. You're
Deal.
Down.
Absolutely.
Thank you. As a background on how on earth you ended up doing a Mexican taqueria in, as opposed to, on the Castle Street in Belfast.
Yeah, just Aliza and Adam, who one of the business partners here, were coming back from Mexico, and they got in contact with Shu, who Adam used to work there for a long time, and Shu introduced them to Andy Ray and Stevie Haller, who were very successful with Home and Morn Seafood, and asked us as a kind of team for advice, and we said Mexican, let's do it together. So kind of had the background of managing and they had the background of cooking, so touch wood, here we are 18 months later.
I know, I love it, a passion again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Busy passion, we're
absolutely.
Away. Cheerio.
Thank you, nice to meet you.
Bye.
So, we've heard a lot about Hollywood outside of Belfast.
Yes.
It seems to be this place where, when there's a new opening, a lot of them seem to be out there. There seems to be a bit of a food scene going on.
Belfast, you know, I'll not get into the boring bits, but the rates here and just, you know, the costs for the city centre here are very expensive.
Yeah.
And you can't really give something a go to see if it works that often. So somewhere like Hollywood can work for people on a certain scale at a certain price.
Mm.
But yeah, I love Noble, which I was at last Sunday. I love it. It's just, I had a chilled Austrian red wine.
Oh.
And it came in a bottle that looked like something out of a tall beer bottle.
Okay.
Would I have ever ordered it in a million years? No. But I trusted one of the owners, Saul, and it was just, it's the thing I know I will remember for years to come. And that's not even because I've taken a photo of it and posted it on Instagram. But I mean, I really will remember it. And it was just so refreshing, so good. And I love that when you can go somewhere and you can learn.
Mm.
So I will not be afraid of chilled Austrian reds.
That seems to be the way you eat, is that you walk into a place and go, what?
Yes.
Tell me.
I do, I have to trust them. And then I learn not to trust too.
And is there many that you don't?
Yeah, you gotta learn. Yeah. You gotta learn as you go. You do. Right, I'm thinking we need to go to our next stop. So let's head down this direction. We've been talking a lot about drinks.
Northern Ireland as a gin producing area.
Brilliant.
It's fabulous.
It is fabulous. I think a lot of people, I'm not saying it's a bandwagon, because people are just really loving the various tastes and they're going for it with gin. So obviously we have the big gin and ginger thing going on here, and it's just a thing that people are just enjoying exploring. I don't know what's next, if it's going to be, I think, vodka, rum, whiskey, I don't know.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Well, you bring up gin and ginger. Isn't there a long, long connection about mixers and the likes here in Northern Ireland that people probably don't realise?
Ginger ale was invented in Northern Ireland. I know. So it was a medicinal remedy for your stomach. I mean, we still today go and say, yes, have something ginger to settle it. So we are adding it to Jawbox Gin. Jerry, who invented Jawbox, spent a lot of time in Linen Hall Library, which we just passed here. It's a beautiful old building, and they are, we spent a lot of time researching it and found out about this link. So we put the two together, and I think that's a great mix for people, particularly if people don't love tonic. I think a lot of people don't think they like gin, but it's the tonic they don't
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
I need to show you another little bit of Belfast street food
that
can accompany said drink.
Okay. Deal.
Street food's definitely coming again into Belfast, something that everyone has had and everyone's had the seen it all, but we've just been to a Mexican, we've just been to, I don't even know if I could call it an Asian. Noodles, soupy, brothy, ricey. I think you were also at Hugo, you were at as well. So also it's lovely getting these different influences coming in. And it's funny because then people go, well, it's not particularly Irish food. But you'll find this next place we're going to, they're using a beef Glenarm Shorthorn to make their food with. I'll not give it away yet. And Glenarm Shorthorn is prized, particularly in the very fancy restaurants of London.
Yeah.
And it's now in Fortnum and Mason and everything else. So,
and it's Peter Hannan's.
And Peter Hannan has come along with his group of farmers up in Glenarm. This is actually where the River Fawcett was in Belfast, which is one of the three rivers that shape Belfast as a city. So we are walking mostly on reclaimed land in the city centre, but you'll see the Albert Clock in front of us.
Slanty as it is.
So Phil, that I work with, his dad used to say it was leaning because of the ladies of the night leant up against it. This is an area that my mother wouldn't have let me come into years ago. And now it's the start of the Cathedral Quarter, which is where everybody hears about in Belfast.
It's like the Shoreditch of Belfast, one would
say. The Shoreditch of Belfast. Well, yeah, maybe. But it's definitely, I wouldn't say the Temple Bar, nothing like it.
Absolutely not.
But it's definitely, I mean, it is the most historical part of the city. But it's also vibrant and a great place for live music.
Yeah.
And there are lots of lovely restaurants and many hotels moving in as well. So there's a lot going on down in this little area. So it's this place here on the left-hand side. And it's got the yellow awning. So we have the black awning is a place called Muriel's. And I alluded to the Ladies of the Night. So Muriel in her day was a milliner by day and a lady of the night by night. So when you walk in, which we'll do now, you'll see washing lines of knickers and bras. And then in the background, you see her hats that she makes. So the idea is just a little bit of her past, but this was her brothel. And that's what makes this a little bit more interesting as a gin bar. So this specializes in gin, but what I want to talk to you about is the place just in next door, owned by the same people. So this is Pablo's. Pablo's is a theme on Pablo Escobar. So everything in the menu relates to some way in about Pablo's life. And say, for example, his cell number is one of the burgers, and it goes on, right? They have the Glenarm Shorthorn, but their burgers are something else. But what makes this interesting is Pablo's is owned by the same group that owns Muriel's, which is a gin bar that we were just in, and then the Spaniard, which is the rum bar. And the Spaniard and Muriel's would be really one of locals' most favourite bars to come into. They are hiving. So Pablo's not only have a rumbecue sauce because of the rum, they have a gin mayo as well, but every single sauce they have is all made here, bar one with buttermilk. But anyway, they have a delivery system that you can get Pablo's delivered to the two bars. So the Spaniard only has a small number of seats, and if you get them, you don't want to ever leave them. So you don't even have to leave now for food, and you can get their Pablo's burgers delivered. Now, I have had people who come in here and go, really, a burger? This is the burger you were looking for. I'm not wishing to slag off anyone. We've got Bunsen now here. I have to say, Pablo's to me still is rocks my world. I know, because I know it's local to you, but Pablo's rocks.
Hope you're enjoying listening to Chew the Fat, and we want to take a quick moment to thank you. If you're liking what you're hearing and want to hear more, we'd love to sneak a little plug in here about Patreon.
Patreon is the community-funded platform where, for as little as a couple of quid, you could support content creators like, you know, me and Patrick, and our little podcast, helping us fund future episodes. Our podcast is 100% free to listen to and download, but producing it does incur a couple of sneaky little minor costs along the way. If you want to back us on Patreon, and there's no obligation to do so, you can join the community over there, where you get advanced episodes and special personalised content from us direct to you. All you need to do to find out more is go to patreon.com/gastrogaze. And if you do, we will love you forever.
Now, back to Belfast and chewing the fat as it was indoors. We delved a little more into Caroline's background and how she started a little tour business that quickly grew into one of the best we've ever been on.
Strange. It's just been luck. And also wonderful, wonderful people that we meet along the way.
It's just Caroline.
No, it's not. Because it's not just, that's the one thing that people said at the start was you couldn't replicate it. You couldn't get other ones. You couldn't, you know, there was, but it's all about the personality of the guide. And the great thing is it's proven that it's not. And people do love all the other guides and what they're doing. Yeah. And they just do it in their own way. And you have to have that let go and let other people do it.
So how does one go from the moment of thinking, saying, God, I really like this city, I love the food in it, I love walking around and eating it, to then spending every day of the week pretty much
eating and drinking
and showing people around. How do you go from that journey?
I would say, I know this sounds really stupid, but age more than anything. I think, not saying a midlife crisis, but I just think with a little bit of age, you get to the stage where you go, well, what is there to lose? And I was lucky enough to have a job that I could go back to if I needed to, and I thought, let's just give it a rattle, because I was constantly saying no to people. And when you start saying no to some exciting opportunities, then you realize that, why am I sitting at my desk doing the thing that I don't really love? And let's get out and do something that I do really love. And then it's just growing and growing and growing. And there's, you know, it's very exciting to be, I think, in a city where tourism is on its way. It's such a massive scale. I don't know if people here on the streets appreciate what's, I feel like, I compare it to like the cowboys and Indians, you know, we need to brace ourselves, they're on the mountains, and let's get ready. And I love a theme. So to me, it's just, that's interesting. And particularly me, who doesn't really deal with that much tourism, which sounds silly, I'm internal tourism, the locals.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting for me then to try and switch that round and go, well, how then do we get that involvement in a place that is still very small, and the quality the quality places to visit, I don't want to turn them into a turnstile at the door. You know, you just don't want that either. So there's a real balance to be played, because you've got to preserve what's great and not just make it a tourist trail.
Going back to your first tour.
Yes.
Your first ever tour.
The first tour was a collection of people I invited. And it was some friends, some people I'd met on Twitter who I'd never met. And then I brought a girl out from the Belfast Telegraph. And I said, look, everybody give me your honest opinion and tell me what you think. And I was 17 people, I think. And I learned so much on that first one. And then the first real tour being for people to pay onto it was 3. And I'll never forget the day we got to 10. And everyone, you know, all the places we visit, we're like, yeah, you got 10. And I know, I can't believe it. And then within 6 months, it was booked to 20 of the start. And we weren't doing it. We were only doing it. I was only doing it every other Saturday, or sometimes every third one, because the day job was there and it would be nice to have a day off. And it was over the summer. So it was March to September. Then the September, so funny, I never remember details, but I remember this. And then the September we started, I noticed it was full and going, wow, this is incredible. But you have to learn your trade. And that was a real, really good way of doing it, because you can't go in with trailing 20 people around and being able to even remember, you know, if you've somebody missing or just crowd control. Yeah. And then after that, I went into then the 2 tours on the Saturday. And that's been filled since, September 2014, I think.
So in relative terms, it's all still pretty new.
It is. I'm learning every day. Every day. I had to learn a whole new sector. I had to learn. We were just at Meet the Buyer there last week. Mm-hmm. So you have one in the south too. And even I remember sitting there with my mobile under my table going, what is FIT? And I didn't know what even the lingo was. And I'm Googling away to try and speak to these people who could potentially bring change in, you know, change a life of a tour company. And I'm Googling what that is and how to, oh yeah, we'll take them, no problem. No idea. So it's a massive learning curve, but definitely an interesting one.
And when you were starting, had you to do any research? Had you explored other tours? Had you traveled and, you know, explored other ones? Or is it just your thing?
I think the research was me in the places talking to people, but I always am interested in how people get to where they are, because I think I sat in a job for 13 years just sitting there, so it always intrigued me how people got into something that they really did love. And I was always astounded when people loved their job. I was like, really? Love it? Don't have the Sunday blues? That's so odd. So then I think, again, it was a good thing I'd done the Dublin tour, the Fab Foodie Trail with Evelyn, and it was with a friend from my work, Orla, and I were down in Dublin because we like to go down, and I said, look, there's this thing, let's do it. And she was, yes, let's do it. And it was absolutely no idea of doing anything myself. And then before that, I had been in Venice and done sort of a Cecchetti thing. So you just went around a couple of different places and it was lovely. And I also had the Polpo cookbook. And I remember going through a couple of them and going, right, we should try here. And it was that insider knowledge, what to me was the kind of key to enjoying somewhere more. And I think that was a good thing, though, that I hadn't been on something else, because I wasn't going to compare it to what I was doing. And what I was doing was a little bit different even to what those were, because I was focusing more on Northern Irish food and drink rather than it was, you know, this is a lovely dish in a lovely restaurant, which I think a lot of people think a food tour is. So there was even an education. I had to stand to people and go, right, this is what a food tour is. Even in the stops, they had no idea. And they had no, and they thought we were coming in for something for free. It was, no, you know, that's just not what this is. And we don't want to get in the way. And just, it's funny how even that and that education over those years has then I hope that it's helped other people. And I think it has. I mean, this was the first food tour, and now we have a good few here in Northern Ireland. So I think just to get everyone's head around that a food tour could be good for locals as much for tourists, and just so enjoyable and good for business, hopefully. Yeah.
Everyone who knows you knows that you are an absolute expert on every restaurant, every producer. I mean, if there's anyone worth knowing in Northern Ireland, you know them.
Food, and it's people who love it, who love what they do. It really is. It's nothing more. I think good things can only come from a good place, and that is a passion for something they love. Mm-hmm. We are sitting at this moment in time in a chocolate shop, and started by a lady who has the ultimate passion for chocolate and is one of the world's top chocolatiers, and I think makes something completely outstanding. So to me, how could I not want to hear what and how her journey came about?
Yeah.
It's just the best. And I just know that energy is just, it's just, there's something about it. And then the food, I really do love food. So, yeah. And drink, sadly.
The thing about your tour is exactly as you say, it's always about the story underneath it, and the story of the family or the hard worker or the underdog. Of course, it is also about amazing food.
Yeah.
So how did you learn the industry and every chef, every producer, every restaurant?
Really, it was a wonderful little bluebird that started it. So it started with a cookbook club that created a little community in Northern Ireland and beyond. And then people understood that I had no, I think, not saying agenda, but just I really love talking about food. I did a tiny little blog for a shopping centre, and again, it was a honest kind of pay my way, write my thing, go for it blog. And it was nothing, I'm never a blogger, inverted commas. It was me sitting, you know, on a night and writing something that I liked. So I think people got that there was a true passion, and then they were happy to talk to me. And that's where, and I think if people want to talk, look at me, I'm rabbiting on. So if people want to talk about themselves, they will. But Twitter was brilliant for that, because everybody at that time was on Twitter. It was a very positive place at that time. It wasn't the way it is now. and it didn't have as much noise. It was a much easier place to find. So I have a lovely food community in there, and it was a fun one as well. So there was a bit of crack and everybody was chatting away and having jokes. I mean, when was the last time you saw a really good... I mean, when I laugh at Twitter, I can't believe it. Like it's such
it's so rare.
But yeah. You remember when you did? I mean, we used to have so much fun on it, and now it's just so just depressing. So I and sadly I kind of stay away from it. I'm a bit more Instagramming. I enjoy Instagram.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
I mean, because our entire blog and brand also was on Twitter.
Yeah.
It was the idea of one hashtag lumped onto tweets about food that has grown over 5 years into our jobs, into our brand, into a fledgling empire of sorts. All
right, calm down.
Global.
One day.
Jamie over, calm down over here.
I have aspirations. But Twitter really was the springboard of our entire thing. And I think it's true that it has lost its love, its heart, its interest for a lot of people in recent years, that they kind of think, oh God, Twitter, isn't it just trolls and like arguments or boring news, you know? And I still see the small aspects of those small groups who are really, really engaged and really helping each other and actually chatting, spreading awareness or spreading, you know, great vibes.
If we can find those, that would be good. And I think a lot of people are now, because they are using other platforms more, they're maybe not putting as much time into Twitter as they used to, which isn't a bad thing, I suppose. But at the same time, it's now been taken over by more negativity than positivity. And information, just it's good, but it's not just as great as it used to be.
Belfast is all the better for having Caroline as a champion of its food and drink, and Northern Ireland as a whole really is one of the best, most exciting, most enterprising food producing areas in the UK and Ireland.
If you want to learn more about Caroline's tours, be sure to Google Belfast Food Tour or just ask us on social media and we will hook you up.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Chew the Fat. We really hope you enjoyed listening to it and learned a little bit more about fantastic Belfast. Be sure to follow us on our own social media, which is at GastroGaze on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, and of course our website, which is GastroGaze.com.